Hello, welcome to another episode of the Indie Founder Podcast, the podcast about what's really like to bootstrap a company. There's a new episode every Monday. Today's Monday, so it's time to start. And in today's episode, it's going to be a bit different. It's going to be a little bit more personal. I'm going to try to answer kind of a personal dilemma that I have, which is, should I buy a boat? If you have been following this podcast for some time, you know that I love sailing. I love boats. It's like one of my, like my biggest dreams. And now I'm asking myself, is this the right time or am I making a huge mistake? So you will help me decide. I'll give you the cons, the pros, and you'll help me decide. How? Well, you can just shoot me a message at WBTiago on Twitter. My DMs are open and then you can give your opinion. I answer to every one of you. Before we get started, if you are listening to this on Spotify, Apple, scroll up. Click on follow. Make sure that every time I release a new episode, you get a notification. And as well, rate this podcast. That's really, really important. There's like a little star on Spotify. Click on it. 5 stars. That would be amazing. If you're listening on YouTube, then it's just a thumbs up, a like. That is really good. Or subscribe to the channel. That's also important. It's the first time I'm actually kind of talking to my YouTube audience. But yeah, there are people listening to this podcast on YouTube. So if you do, that would be amazing if you could just help out a little bit. Now, let me start this episode with a story. I don't know where I heard this story from. Probably not a true story, but it's a good start of this episode. And I think it'll make you think. So there was this fisherman in the Caribbean. He would wake up, fish for 1, 2, 3 hours, and then with his catch, he would sell it and generate enough money for all of his expenses, his house, his food. Then he would just spend the rest of the day playing the guitar, swimming in the ocean, hanging out with his friends. One day, an American entrepreneur, New Yorker, comes to town and asks him, "Hey, can you take me around to go fishing?" They go fishing, and then the American looks at him and says, "Wow, man, you're really good at this. Have you ever thought on like scaling this operation?" And he's like, "No, I never thought about that." And he told him, "Man, you first of all, what you can do, you bring your operation to the States. There you can sell the fish for triple or 4 times the price. You work for 10 hours a day. You produce this amount of fish. Then you start buying more boats. And in no time, you can have $1 million operation." The fisherman thinks and says, How long do you think I would need to work for to get that?" "I don't know, maybe 20, 25 years and you'd have that." "Oh, okay," says the fisherman. "But what would I do with the money?" And the American says, "Man, I don't know." "Then you could just retire. You could do whatever. You could just spend the time hanging out with your friends, playing the guitar, swimming in the ocean." And the fisherman says, "But isn't that what I'm doing now?" The American didn't really understand and got back to his life. And the fisherman stayed doing what he loved. And this is something that really makes me think. And even today I was talking about this a little bit with my co-founder, which is like, we don't do this for money. Like, sometimes people lose a bit their way. Like, why do we do this? Why do people that make already a lot of money keep making a lot of money? And we try to tell ourselves that it's because we want to get the nicer things in life. But we never really ask, what are these things? If I look around, especially in middle class and so on, there is this chase for something better, this chase for a better life, for better things. And in the end, when you realize you don't really need to keep working to get these things. There was this whole like FIRE movement. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. The idea of like retiring at when you're 40 or something. And that turned some heads. People were curious about that. But I think what I like about this movement, what I like about this, is that you just realize that at some point you're not doing this for the money. You're doing this for the chase. One other thing that my co-founder told me today, it's another story. I think it's kind of comes from some philosopher. And he says, the story goes like this. There was this guy, he was a gambler. And the devil comes to him and tells him, You cannot gamble anymore, but I will give you everything you want, all the money you need. You can buy whatever. And the gambler says, but I like to gamble. I like to come here and play. So the devil gives him a counteroffer. Okay, so let's do something different. I'll give you all the money for you to gamble, but you will never win. You can spend as much as you want, but you'll never win. And the gambler also says, but what's the fun on that? The beauty of gambling is the possibility of winning. So in the end, he didn't want the money. He didn't want the earnings, but he didn't also want to just keep playing. It's this chase, it's this dopamine of achieving something that somehow it's good for humans in a way that it keeps us on our tippy toes, keeps us innovating and pushing the barrier. But at the same time, it can work against us. It can bring a lot of anxiety. So this is kind of the thought. So at a moment, I am in this really great position in life where most of my expenses are covered. Not most. My expenses are covered. I have a home. I have everything. And the company is generating money. It's not generating a lot of money, but it's enough. So we cut a lot of expenses in the past 3, 4, 5 months. We had a lot of expenses that we decided to reduce. And now we are able to get a nice salary. It's not crazy, but we get a nice salary. And I was able to start saving money again, finally, after all this time. There's a good cushion of money that I've been saving. Not a lot, but it's working. And I started thinking, okay, is it time to finally realize my dream, the thing that I've been wanting for so long, which is buying a sailboat? Like, to give you some context on this, I started sailing when I was, I think, 13 or so. My parents put me into like a sailing club, and none of my parents ever sailed. I don't know why. Maybe they just wanted to pretend that they were rich or something. I don't know, something like this. But it was so cool because I live in Portugal and I have great conditions to sail, and I loved it. And since then, like this passion for it never stopped. I later got my license, and now, as you know, if you follow this podcast, at least once a year, I go and sail for a week. I love that. But I've never owned my own boat. So when I'm here in Portugal, I want to sail, but I don't have that chance because renting a boat is so expensive here. And I feel that if I had something mine, I would be always using it. So I always had this crave for it. I wanted something. So, yeah, now I started realizing, started thinking about this. And I started thinking, okay, maybe if I have the money now, why not? And just to do the bridge to this story that I just told you, there is part of me that says, don't spend the money. That's insane. Just keep that money and either save it or invest it in something that will have better returns. Now, why would I do that? Why would I just save the money or invest it in some kind of ETF or stocks or something? So that one day, that investment would pay off and I would have enough money to do what? Buy a boat, right? It's the story of the fisherman. So if I can do it right now, if that's the dream and I can do it right now, what's the point of delaying it to just do it later? Maybe later I could have bought a better boat, but it's like maybe in 10 years, 15 years. Why? Why bother waiting, right? Like, one thing that I think is really important is that having the chase, you know, this chase is completely fine, but you need to understand that what you're looking for is not what it, like the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. What you're looking for is the chase. You need to understand that you love that chase. You love to play the game. If you don't understand that, and if you think that you're just chasing something and there's actually something to chase for, that's the problem. Because you don't realize what you're chasing for. Because most of the times, whatever you want, you already have it, or it's not that hard to have. Most of the times, you just want to have people that love you. You just want to have good relationships, to travel a bit, to have a home. Those things, even though sometimes they and for some people, I reckon, might be really hard to achieve, but for a lot of people, it's possible, right? So that was kind of the first realization. Okay, cool. Why not, right? Why not? Let's invest in something that I really want. Like, get this dream and cross it from the list. But then I started to think, okay, but how it's things are not adding up. But even if I want to invest all of this money, there are a few problems. A few problems with owning a boat. And it's not buying the boat. Sure, buying a boat can be expensive. So I'm thinking, I'm actually looking for a boat that the owner is asking 18K for it. 18K, I mean, it's a lot of money, but at the same time, it's not crazy, right? But it doesn't end there. That's the issue. The moment you have a boat, there's a lot of expenses. A lot of expenses. So you need to keep the boat somewhere, right? You need to keep it in a marina. Do you know how expensive a marina is here in Portugal? It's crazy. I was asking around for prices, and there were prices that would go to 5,000 euros or let's say $5,000 per year. 5K! That's absurd. That's like one fourth of the price of the boat. In 4 years, I would spend more money in marinas than the price of the boat. That's absurd. And you know what's the crazy thing? There's a huge waiting list. So even if I want to pay this 5K, if I can afford it, I need to wait. There's 40 other boats in front of me to get the slot in the marina. So my entrepreneurship mindset starts running. I started thinking, man, that's a huge business. Like, having a marina, that's amazing. You just need some water, electricity, a place where they can tie up the boat, make it safe, and then you're easily generate millions per year, and it's almost passive. You just need to, maybe hire one person to maintain everything. That's crazy. Anyways, I think starting a marina is quite hard. It's not something. There's not a lot of marinas for sale. But I started to think on other ways to get some money back. So the first thing that comes to my mind is, okay, if I buy the boat and then I need to sell the boat, how much money would I lose? And you know, when you buy a car, if it's a new car, the moment the car gets out of the shop, you lose like a percentage of that value immediately. But if the car, like, the older the car gets, the less the it devalues. And it's same with boats. So if I buy an older boat, if I do a good deal, then if I sell it in 5 years, 10 years, if I need to sell it, I will not lose a lot of that money. So okay, that's a given. So I just need to make sure that I buy a good boat. I buy a boat with a good engine, that things that are reliable, things that will not break down. And so that's checked, because I checked this boat and it seems legit, perfect. I'm not a huge expert, but it seems legit. Okay. So that part is taken care of. Now, the issue here is the money that I'll be spending with marinas, insurances, everything. And there were a couple ideas. First idea is to rent as an Airbnb. This is probably the best idea so far for me. And it's really cool because here in Lisbon, like, things, rents are very expensive. Airbnbs, all the tourism is booming and everything is so, so fucking expensive that if I would get a slot in a marina that is close to Lisbon, close to the city center, it's prime real estate, right? So sure, it's not as comfortable as getting an apartment, but it would also be cheaper. So instead of paying 100 euros per night, you'd pay 50 euros or 60 euros per night, and you'd still stay in a comfortable place close to the city center, and you have like an experience. So, okay, that seems legit, and I immediately checked Airbnb, and there are other boats in the same marina and asking for these prices. So it seems that I could at least make enough money to cover the expenses of the boat and still be able to use it. because that's very important. If I buy a boat and then I rent it the whole year and then I cannot use it, then it kind of loses the point. So I just kind of roughly made a calculations for, okay, if I would use it for 10% of the time, 20% of the time, and pays off. It will not make me rich, but it will at least pay for everything. So that's kind of nice. Like, imagine you have a business that is somehow, I mean, there's still some work, you need to clean it and so on. But if you can automate that a little bit, that's really cool, because you can have people there and it can cover the expenses. And it's another business that I get my hands into, and it's something else to learn. So that's really cool. So that's one option. Another option would be tourism. So every day there are tons of boats that go out to the Tejo River and they go around and people love it. They drink a martini, they drink a cocktail, a mimosa, whatever. And tourists pay like big bucks to do this. For like 2-3 hours, they pay 50, 60 euros, and you can take a bunch of them. So that's definitely the most lucrative thing you can do with the boat, is to go around and sail people around and give them a good time for a few hours. Now, the issue here is that it would just take me, like, it would take too much of my time. The insurance that I need needs to be a better one, a special one for this kind of tourism thing, and I need a special license. So it's kind of annoying. It's a lot of work. A lot of work to maybe make a little bit more money, but it's not my biggest priority. I want to focus on my digital businesses and so on. I don't want to get another business going. So I kind of put that idea a bit on the side. And the other option would be to rent the boats to other sailors. So that's something that I've always wondering, because if there are so many people that want to sail and buying a boat is so expensive, like, something doesn't add up. Why aren't the prices to rent a boat cheaper? But they're still very expensive and there's not a lot of offerings. So I've also thought about this, like, maybe there's a business here. So I could rent it to some people. So that's nice. That's nice, but it gets into the same issue, which is special insurance, and it needs to be like a touristic kind of thing. So you need a special license. Annoying. So far, what I thought is, okay, fine, let's do an Airbnb. Airbnb, it's more relaxed. I just need to make sure it's clean, it's nice, it's comfortable. People can go, they stay, they leave. They don't take the boat out of the marina. It's safe. Okay. So at least maybe by doing that, if I do, and I do believe that I can do this, I think with all my experience with my business and so on, I feel that I can do this. Okay, so I need also this kind of confidence that I didn't have in the past. So if I can do this, at least that part is covered. The next part is getting a place in a marina. I sent so many emails to different marinas, and that's like nothing. Like, so I couldn't get any slots. And this is also a big issue. I don't know if the where you live, this is an issue. Or maybe you just don't care about sailing boats. But yeah, so that's something that I need to figure out. And hopefully I will. One other thing that it was really interesting is me negotiating with the boat owner. So in this ad, it was saying, in this ad where he was sailing the boat, it was saying that he would accept exchanges. And normally this is like, I give him a car and he gives me the boat, I give him whatever. So something that he wants and he would be willing to exchange. So I thought, okay, I don't have anything like that I can exchange like with him right now. But I do have like skills to build websites and stores and so on. And I noticed that he had a business. So I just shot my shot. I don't know. I just try it. And I asked him, hey, one thing that I can do for you is that I can build you a website. Like, I know that you have a business. I checked that he had like a website, really shitty one. I said, okay, maybe we can do this. And I think that's something that it's good about me, which is I'm kind of naive and optimistic. And I'm not afraid of, you know, trying these things out. Even though maybe some people would think, maybe it's ridiculous, maybe the guy will take it bad. I don't really care. So, and I think that I'm getting better on doing these deals and actually giving value to this person, taking value from me. And he actually said, yeah, that would be something interesting for him. That he has a business that he's now actually trying to build. And he needs a store, he needs like a web store, he needs a website. And maybe I could do this for him. So everything is lined up that so that I can buy the boat for cheaper by exchanging some of my hours to build something for him and my skills. I would get the boat cheaper, and then I would do the Airbnb. So that's the current situation. The boat is not here in Lisbon, is in Faro, so it's I will need to go there and drive there to visit. I hopefully will do that in the next week. And I will try to make a deal with him. I'll try to see what we can do. Until then, I need to find a place to put the boat. Now, tell me, is this a huge mistake? Like, should I be doing other things with this money? Should I be trying to buy another house and, like, you know, get a loan from the bank? Or should I be putting it in ETFs or crypto? Should we, like, should I, instead of getting that money for myself, just keep it in the company and buy a business? These are the whole, like, the all the things that are coming to my mind. Okay, maybe I'm making these huge mistakes. Maybe I'll, in the future, I'll look back and say, man, I shouldn't have spent that money. Yeah. So I would love to get your opinion on this. And you can do so by shooting me a message at WBTiago on Twitter. The link will also be in the show notes. And that's it for today's episode. A bit shorter, a bit different. Next episode, I will hopefully have an interview that I will, another bootstrapper, really good maker that I will be interviewing this week. And next Monday, there is another episode for you. And like always, let me recommend something, because I love to recommend old episodes from the Indie Founder podcast. Let me recommend episode 329, which is somehow connected to this one. It's where I interview Daniel. He is an indie maker. He sold his company for a bunch of money, and now he invests his money by acquiring other SaaS. Then in this interview, we explore that. We explore a bit of also like how he was able to sell his company and in his investment. So it's a really cool episode. Episode 329 for you to listen next. And that's it for today's episode of the Indie Founder Podcast. I wish you a lovely entrepreneurial week, and I see you next Monday. Bye-bye.